Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. And a great service department that's there to help you with whatever you need for your current vehicle. And a great sales staff who's not just there for the sale. They're there to make sure that you get the car you're looking for at a price that fits your budget and it's just simply right for you. And that is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. A lot of good guests coming up here the rest of the week. We got Cam Rogers today from the Believe Podcast Network. He's the golf analyst. We'll be talking Masters with him today. Tomorrow, 4:06, Scott Fransky, the radio voice of the Phillies. You'll hear him all season long once again over on Eagle 107. Beginning Friday afternoon when the Phillies host the Oakland A's. A 2:30 pregame, 3:05 first pitch on Friday. And Jerry Dulac, our buddy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Steelers Radio Network, is going to join us at 4:06 on Friday to talk some Masters. We'll be hopefully one round in. Hopefully the weather will cooperate throughout the weekend at Augusta. And I'm sure we'll get into some Steeler talk with him too. So that's what we got coming up the rest of the week. And we might even add to that. So going to be a good end to the week here as we get set to a good end to the week sports-wise with the Masters beginning tomorrow. The par 3 competition is underway at Augusta as we speak. And then, of course, Major League Baseball opens up the season tomorrow. Phillies open up on Friday. Yankees and Red Sox were supposed to open up tomorrow, but that has been postponed to Friday due to weather or the incoming forecast. So, lots of good stuff coming up. And as we get ready for the Masters, I know we've had a lot to say. I had a lot to say, really, about Tiger. But I would want, just to be fair here, you know, I'm not totally loading all this on Tiger, even though, yeah, whatever. I'm not a big Tiger fan, obviously, from what we've seen in previous shows. But everything that's happened now with Phil Mickelson, because this just came out today, the Augusta chairman was asked, I guess yesterday, if Phil Mickelson was invited after his comments recently, and now he's taking kind of a leave of absence from the PGA. And the chairman said he was, but Phil then texted him in late February, early March, that he wouldn't be playing in the Masters this year. And I think he was right to do that. And I don't think the PGA, just like I've kind of made the point this week of the PGA, really shouldn't owe Tiger any favors, even though I get he's Tiger, I know he's Tiger. I think this goes the same for Phil Mickelson because of the nature of his comments. I don't care who spilled them. To recap, in February, author Alan Shipnuck posted Mickelson's controversial comments about the PGA Tour and a proposed breakaway league being funded by Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, which is the nation's sovereign wealth fund. He called them scary bleepers to get involved with. And you mentioned about the killing of Washington Post journalists and U.S. resident Jamal Khashoggi and having a horrible record on human rights, et cetera, et cetera. But he said he would consider doing something like this because he called it, quote, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reshape how the PGA Tour operates. I mean, putting aside what Tiger has done, I mean, that's as bad as it gets, too, with one of the biggest stars for the PGA. And Phil Mickelson did lose a lot of respect for me about that. I was losing some with him a little bit, too. Yes, it was cool that he won the PGA Championship when he became the oldest player to do so at 50. What was that, 2 years ago? That was a cool thing. Just like I said yesterday, that if Tiger somehow were to win this thing or be in contention all weekend, yeah, it would be a good thing to see for golf, and it would still be interesting to watch. But that doesn't mean I'm going to like the guy, or do I think that we need to keep bowing down to this guy? The golf world does. So basically what I'm saying is all my Tiger hate is also juxtaposed to what Phil Mickelson has done. And I think any media attention toward Phil Mickelson, though it's not as great as Tiger, it never will be, I get that. But he does get a lot of attention, and I'm sure he would have had he played, albeit it would have been negative instead of positive like for Tiger. But regardless, he wouldn't, to me, he doesn't deserve any of that anymore either from the PGA. And if it were to get that way, kind of like similarly how it is with Tiger now, then yeah, PGA again would be in a bad spot because they need other stars to step up and be consistent. They don't have anybody right now. So I just wanted to put that out there. Yes, I got the Tiger hate. I will never back down from that. But with this coming out today about Phil Mickelson and the Augusta chairman saying he was invited but Mickelson pulled out, I don't think the golf world has anything to owe to Phil Mickelson either. So, just throwing that out there. And I intend to make that clear to Steve once he steps up here to the Sunbury Motor Studio. And also elsewhere today, we saw a lot of other big contracts given away. NFL continues to go nuts with the signings of receivers. Latest to Stephon Diggs, a 4-year, $104 million extension with the Bills. An extension that includes $70 million guaranteed. He had 2 years remaining on his existing deal. And now his contract, Stephon Diggs, that is, runs through 2027. And the way this is going, this is only going to climb up for some of the younger receivers out there right now. And that's scary for NFL execs, because you were just worried about giving big contracts to your quarterbacks, to your franchise quarterbacks. But now you may have to fork the bill a little bit to receivers. It's crazy, but that's just where things are going. Crazy to think about. So again, we've got Cam Rogers today, golf analyst, Believe Podcast Network, with his Masters analysis.
What are you whining about this?
Well, this time I was being fair, Steve, and whining about...
Why the change of philosophy? That's a good one. I pat myself on the back on that one.
Just about the stuff with Phil Mickelson, how the Augusta chair mentioned today that Phil was invited but pulled out. I don't think the golf world should have anything to owe to Phil Mickelson either, because I think what he said and what he did was atrocious. And any media attention toward him, if he were to come back after this hiatus, I think would be nauseating as well. So I'm being fair here to start the show.
First of all, he's asked about it, okay? Because what, this is what this is. You want to know why you ask the question? Why do you ask the question? Let me ask you. I want to see like if you understand how this works.
Oh, I know why. You have to ask the question.
No. What's the reason you ask the question?
Well, because you want to clear the air.
No. People are trying to find out if Phil is suspended. See?
Yeah, but you wouldn't necessarily...
That's why you ask. In other words, he could have played. That means he is not suspended. Okay? That's what that means. He's not suspended. Because he qualified for the Masters as a past champion, so it's automatic he can play. And he's the defending PGA champion. You asked the question because you're trying to get hints as to whether he is suspended or not. Ah, you're lucky I showed up today.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Well, that's why I bring these things up.
I try to make
perfect sense.
And I have nothing wrong with what the chair said. I'm just making the point that the golf world, the chair should have said that. The golf world has no... doesn't have to do anything, doesn't owe anything to Phil either. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no.
This has nothing to do with what the Augusta chair said.
Nobody says that anybody owes Phil anything. Nobody says that. I mean, nobody says that, at least to my knowledge, to be honest with you. But you also have a 3-time champion who's not there. So you have a 3-time champion that's not there, you ask. And you're also trying to figure out, like, he hasn't been playing. Has he been suspended? Now, remember, who was it Dustin Johnson? Remember, Dustin Johnson went for a period of time. And people are like, what's going on? And everybody finally figured out he was suspended. This is how many years ago? It was several years ago. But he was, because the PGA does not announce suspensions. That's why. Oh, Embiid had 46 last night. Yeah, how about that? Yeah. Wow. Does really well against the inferior teams. That's your guy, right?
He is my guy.
I mean, God, you put him against a lousy team, he's good. I'm just joking with you. God, he's got to be the MVP this year. I always love, like, they'll play a game. Like, for example, Milwaukee. Giannis played great that night. Okay? I mean, I don't think it takes a genius. Giannis played great that night. Right? Oh, maybe he should be the MVP. Off of one game? Look, Giannis is a great player. He's already won the MVP before, right? Okay, Embiid's had a great season. The full body of work is phenomenal. And he should be the MVP this year. Just a thought.
I agree, I think he solidified that with these back-to-back 40-plus games.
He solidified it a month ago. He's just continuing. What he's doing the last couple of games is what he's been doing all year, Matt. I think he's been solidifying his case every single time he goes out. I think a month and a half ago, everyone thought he was the MVP, and he's still playing at the same level, so nothing's changed. Oh, Shiel Kapadia wrote in an article, the Eagles made a splash this week, completing a blockbuster trade with the Saints that leaves them with the 15th and 18th picks. But the theme of the article is the Eagles are stuck in the middle. What's their plan? And that is the issue. They are, at the moment, they're in the middle. They're in the middle tier of the NFL. So how do you go through? Because remember, they're 31-33-1 the last 4 years since winning the Super Bowl. I don't have to remind you of that because there's been a lot of relaxers along the way to get you through.
Correct.
They have the 19th best winning percentage, just ahead of the Miami Dolphins, but just behind, believe it or not, the Cleveland Browns. In the past 65 games, the Eagles have a plus 25 point differential. That ranks 18th. They're 17th in that span in expected points added. Okay. In the metrics, they have finished 15th, 28th, 11th, and 15th the past four seasons. It is the first time since they started the metrics. It's the first time since 84 to 87 that they didn't have a top 10 in the metrics. This is your team that you're like basing your entire life on. But here we go. Here is the key to all of it for Philadelphia. Based on Vegas's projected win totals, the Eagles have, quote, the second easiest schedule in the NFL in 2022. Again, the challenges are, like this past season, few and far between.
I think it's just a coincidence it ended up that way because the teams that are on their schedule have had a lot of changes.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Oh, man. This is just, it's going to be the same story this year. Look how good we are. Look how bad they are. Now, do I think the Eagles are in better shape than the Steelers? Yes. But I think the Eagles and the Steelers are both in the same boat. You've got to worry about being the Atlanta Hawks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you're not, you're drafting in the middle all the time to whatever. You're not good enough to get to 28 to 32, but you're not good enough to, you're not bad enough to be 1 through 12.
I mean, just looking at the schedule for next year now, at the way things stand heading into the draft, to me, the toughest games for the Eagles next year is Green Bay and Tennessee.
Awful.
Yeah.
What about Dallas?
I think they'll probably split with Dallas, but they'll be a challenge too. But
challenging a better talent. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Not by my. I think Dallas. I think Dan Orlovsky said it best earlier today. I think Dallas might be in for the beginning of a rude awakening. To be honest with you. But on paper, they're better than the Eagles.
Yeah, they got a better quarterback. Running back, they probably have better wideouts. You know, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is pretty good. I think that the Eagles have better tight end. Offensive lines are close. To be honest with you, the addition of Micah Parsons. And again, the Eagles could have had him, but they went with Devontae Smith, and I understand why. Okay, Devontae Smith is a special, special talent. But, I mean, who in the Eagles is in Micah Parsons' category?
And that's what the Eagles, I think, need to address in this draft.
All right. Now, again, in all fairness, Devontae Smith was a great choice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I had to choose, I would do Devontae Smith
again.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with the choice the Eagles made.
Yeah.
Zero. No. So I'm not saying anything about that. Now, but again, I think that this year is a referendum on Jalen Hurts. I really do. Either he will, at the end of the next year, he'll prove whether he's the long-term solution or whether you got to think about what you want to do next, because there are more quarterbacks available in next year's draft than this year's draft. Now, I know you're all in on Jalen Hurts, and I got a note from him saying how much he appreciates you. So, it's very nice.
See, there you go.
He says, I know I'm the 23rd ranked quarterback in the NFL, and they're 22 better than I am, but thank Matt. All right, what? All right, we're going to talk to Cam Rogers. We're going to do that at 4:06. You know, we also have a Masters update from Ted Emmerich in the next half hour on the edge of my seat here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Sponsored by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which means so much. And not only that, but you also have a great service department that takes care of everything. Everything. And that includes, obviously, inspections, routine, whatever it may be. It's just great. And also diagnostics. It really is one-stop vehicle shopping. The great people at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It's been another tough day for Matt. A lot of complaints. I don't understand why.
Well, it's not really a complaint. It's just more of I was actually just trying to be fair. For once, I was actually trying to be fair to Tiger. That's all.
Yeah, but what happens is that when you have a three-time former champion not in the field, you're going to ask a question about him. Was Phil Mickelson invited to be in the field? Right? Now, if you come up with some innovative answer that... If you come up with some innovative answer, like, then you're like, I wonder if he's suspended. And then it's a problem, okay? But the answer was, he actually was invited. We communicated, but he decided not to come. Okay. Interesting. I mean, you're going to have to ask about it. This is something people want to know. I mean, to me, it's a question that's got to be there.
Oh, I would have asked the question myself. I totally get it.
You would have asked about Danny Willett. How's Danny Willett doing? No. To be honest with you, you scare me. All right, so... just kidding. I'll never forget covering the U.S. Open in 2016, and they're bringing people out, it's Rory, because we did the show from down there. And Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth, the whole thing. And then they brought Danny Willett out. And I was like, what the heck are they bringing Danny Willett out for? And then I was like, oh, wait, you idiot. He won the Masters, so he's the only guy that can win the Grand Slam. I got it. Okay. Had to kind of think about that one for a minute, to be honest with you. Like, Danny Willett, why'd they bring him out? Oh, that's right. I got it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Had to come up with something, All right. So, we have a Masters update coming up. We got that?
Shooting for that, yes.
Shooting for it?
They're just having a little technical difficulty.
Well, just tell Ted to get his act together.
You tell him.
I'm more than happy to, and Ted would know that I would tell him to his face. Get yourself together, Ted. He knows darn well I'd tell him. Oscar Tshiebwe did win the Wooden Award, Kentucky's basketball player. No surprise. I, to be honest with you, I did vote for Sheboy. The ballots have to be in, by the way, by the end of the week and the opening weekend. So essentially, you are voting on the regular season. So if you're like, "Well, they didn't beat St. Peter's," that doesn't factor into your vote. All right, just so you know, in case somebody asks, Bob Bowlesby, Big 12 commissioner, gone. He's going to step away later this year. 70 years old. He did a great job of keeping the Big 12 together when they could have broken apart. And that is at least something that that along the way you know the Big 12 could have disintegrated. They are, let's see, how would I say, the Big 12 is maybe not a shell of itself, but obviously they are not the same. But in a world where there are not great options right now, he found the best options available for his conference. How about that? Nobody's going to sit there and say Cincinnati, Houston, BYU, and UCF are the greatest options on the planet. Oh, yeah, we absolutely have to have these people. But when you're sitting there and you are out of options, okay, and you're saying, okay, what are our best options after something like this happens? And it was traumatic. He found the best options to keep them alive and at least viable as a conference. There is no question, let's be honest, there's no question that the next TV contract, which he will not be negotiating, there's no question in my mind they cannot get to the same level they're at right now. People are spending their money. They're going to spend their money on the Big Ten. They've already spent their money on the SEC. ACC's out of it. Pac-12 will come up before the Big 12. And people are going to look at it. They're going to try and get a bargain basement deal from you. Did you tell Ted that we want him? I just want to know.
Yeah, we're working on it. He knows. We just got to fix some technical difficulties on our end, I think.
Come on. Come on.
In fact, the suit is on it.
Okay, so we're not going to do this? All right.
S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
D-I-S-A-S-T-E-R. How about that one?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I hate this show. No? He's on it. Because I get this specific instruction from you. Okay? If you could do it at 3:45, toss it to a master's update. Okay. I'm close. I'm just concerned for you, that's all.
I'm just going by what I've been being told here behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes? Look, how many times have I told you? How do you fix such problems? You hit it on the side.
Yeah, exactly. I do that. Sometimes I use more physical force.
Yeah, but those are on the days where the Eagles are getting outscored.
Yeah, that may be true.
I worry about you. I worry about you. I do. All right. Am I allowed to take a break here?
Oh, you still can. I don't know if we're going to have Ted yet. That's the only thing. But you can still take the break.
What's going on here? What's going on? Come on.
So, you take the break when you want, and we'll squeeze Ted in at some point here.
Ted speaks highly of you.
I know he does. I love Ted. This is all out of my control.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. I'm worried about you. A little worried about Ted, too. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Well, I'll take that as meaning that we can't get Ted.
We're shooting for the for 4:15.
No, we can't. We got Cam Rogers on.
Well, after Cam Rogers, yeah.
Okay.
After Cam, yeah.
We're gonna be shooting for 5:15 if we keep going.
Kevin's currently slapping the machine as we speak, so we can get Ted properly.
Another day of violence. I can't promote violence on the air. I mean, can you? I can't.
Yeah, I guess Come that's on. Probably not a good look.
No, it's just not. The whole thing's not a good look.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells foul.
Come on. Just want to make sure we're doing all right here. That's all.
Nah, we're good.
No, I just get what I'm worried about all this.
We still got plenty of talk with a good golf talk with Cam coming up, and then hopefully we'll have Ted after that.
Again, you're mad about Phil Mickelson. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah.
You're mad that Tiger's playing. You're mad that Phil's not playing.
No, I'm okay with Phil not playing. I'm just saying I would do the same thing. I wouldn't have allowed Phil to play, period. I get why they have to, but I have no problem with what the Augusta chair said.
I would have no problem with him being in the field.
I would have a problem. I would.
Okay? A PGA event? Okay. There's a certain point where... Now, you got to remember something, though. When it comes to golf, what are golfers? They're independent contracts. All right? I think what he did was wrong. I think the PGA Tour, for the most part, I mean, it has been great for professional golf in this country. The USGA has been great for professional golf in this country. They're making more money than ever in this country. It sounded like it was a money grab. And let's face it, we all know that over time, there have been certain issues overseas, some of which deal with human rights issues with the people he's talking about. They're not the people you want to be associated with. You're just not. Along the way, governments you don't want to be associated with. And I realize there's a money grab here, but look, the PGA Tour, let's pretend that the PGA Tour, players can be very selective these days about when they play as independent contractors because the tour is doling out more money than ever before. And that's something I think he has not taken into account. I don't understand. What especially the stage of his career, he's the Champions stage of his career. And the fact he won the PGA last year at the age of 50 was miraculous. I mean, nobody's ever done that before. Nobody's won a major at the age of 50. Nobody has. So I don't understand why he did this and when he did it and what the issue was behind why he was doing this. I don't know whether it's an issue with Jay Monahan, whatever. But he shouldn't have done it. Is it okay to bring up the topic and say, hey, look, we've got to change some things? I would like to see some things change. Here's why. Then do that. Now, your hate and vitriol is, you know, it's just part of the Philadelphia, we're just keeping it real.
I'm just more of, I'm giving you my honest opinion. I'm done with Tiger and Phil. That's all.
Well, who are you with now?
See, that's the thing. I just kind of watch more. See, I don't really have a dog in the fight.
See, that's the problem.
Exactly.
See, that's become the problem with golf right now because they have been. Now, remember, you are talking about a sport where you had, let's just take it to more recent history, Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, quote, the big three. There's always been somebody, you know, Tom Watson starred for a period of time. Nick Faldo starred for a period of time. All right, so you've had stars over a period of time. You've had that. So that's great that you have that in the mix of professional golf. Tiger's been the star. Phil's been a star. So you've had all of that along the way. Right now, they're looking for somebody to be the next centerpiece star. There really isn't anybody like that right now. But Tiger comes back. Well, guess what? He comes back to play. It's exciting for people. When he won the Masters in 2019, the roar on 18 told you everything. He's popular. Now, he's not popular with you.
But you're exactly right. I said earlier this week, golf has a problem because what are we doing now as we get ready for the Masters? We're talking about one guy that sounds like he's probably going to play, but we don't know if he can play for the whole tournament. And now we're talking about a guy that is not going to play. That's a problem for the sport forward until once these guys leave the sport and Tiger and Phil.
Well, they're not going to leave. I mean, he's not going to leave the sport. I mean, again, I think at some point you're going to have Phil Mickelson, for example, playing on the Champions Tour once in a while. And then you're really going to have an issue because the issue is going to be, these guys are more popular than the guys we have. Not good. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, it is an issue. There's no getting around it. And that's why, you know, because when Mickelson won a couple times in the Champions Tour, they got better ratings than the regular tour. And it's interesting, it's not, for example, like let's take tennis. Tennis, I mean, golf doesn't want to become tennis in that the golden era of tennis for everybody was the personality of McEnroe, the personality of Jimmy Connors, of Ilie Anastasi. I mean, you had some wild personalities out there, the stoic and staid Bjorn Borg. Well, today, I mean, in tennis, you have great, great talent out there, but you feel like it's emotionally homogenized. When Tiger Woods makes a big putt, he's got that fist pumped in the air, the whole deal, right? And it gets the crowd going, right? And that is how it is today. But most of the other players, and you can't force, you cannot force emotion. But a lot of this has become emotionally homogenized. See, that's one thing you're not. You're not emotionally homogenized. You're just over-emotional.